Hi, everyone. This is Andy Mack. And we're going to bring you the audio version of a brand new...
Yeah, this is the Wii part over here. This is Jag Daddy.
Yes, finally.
Yeah, this is the Mayan Calendar Cast Air Radio, bringing you live this doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. This just in. We got a very cool email today from...
our
Carl
friend.
Johan Kalman.
Yes.
Our Nordic friend.
Yes.
From Sweden.
Sweden. He sent us an article, and the name of the article is The Mayan Calendar and the Process of Enlightenment. We thought it might be nice to have an audio to listen to as you peruse this page. Here we go. The Mayan calendar and the process of enlightenment have long been regarded as two entirely separate approaches to life, especially as the origins of the two are to be found in two separate hemispheres of our planet. The Mayan calendar is an understanding of the universe that obviously has its origins in the West, in the Native American traditions, whereas enlightenment is a state whose attainment has been the focus almost exclusively of Eastern traditions. Yet, as we are now living in a time when the West and the East are coming together, this merging of traditions may include some that previously were considered as completely separate. In the emerging paradigm, the Mayan calendar actually seems to furnish the time plan that charts humanity's path towards enlightenment.
Such a unification of traditions is manifesting, not the least, in the work of Sri Kalki, operating out of India, with its rich traditions of yogis and enlightenment, and yet looking upon his mission of bringing enlightenment to humanity within a temporal framework that coincides with that of the Mayan calendar. It should be pointed out, however, that he did not arrive at this framework through directly studying the Mayan calendar. He arrived at it essentially through the visions of the time ahead that participants in his enlightenment process shared, and only later did he find out about the concordance of these with the Mayan calendar. Yet, the whole notion of humanity's path towards enlightenment is part of a historic process, a consequence of our own particular era may by some be considered as heretical. Traditionally, enlightenment has been very much considered a result of individual efforts of spiritual purification or even a sporadic accidental event, unrelated to the particular era the adept was living in.
Stating that the process of enlightenment may be a favored result of a particular historic era, by necessity, raises certain questions. What is the nature of the historic process if indeed a given time period is more conducive to enlightenment than others? And why would we be approaching a process of collective enlightenment as we approach the end of the Mayan calendar by the year 2012? Unfortunately, modern education tends to present the facts of history from an essentially materialist perspective that negates the existence of a divine time plan. And so, to find answers to the questions above, we need to move out of that box. The best way of approaching the question above, in my view, is to take a look at them from the perspective of the Mayan calendar. For those unfamiliar with the basic structure of this, I'll briefly recapitulate it.
The Mayan calendar describes 9 different levels of evolution of consciousness, where each of the levels is developed by an era called an underworld. The creation of the universe proceeds in a pyramidal fashion where the 9 underworlds are built one upon the other. We may thus liken the evolution of consciousness to the climb of a cosmic pyramid that began at the Big Bang 16 billion years ago. This climb is designed to take us to the 9th and highest level, where a non-dualist perception of the world will be brought to us. All of these levels of consciousness are propelled by 13 energies alternating in intensity to create a wave movement in which the time periods when these energies dominate consciousness are very exactly defined. The energies ultimately emanate from the cosmic world tree, what the Maya called Hunab-Ku, the Vikings called Yggdrasil, and what the Vedas called Mo-Lam, the central creative principle of the universe that by itself is non-physical in nature. By October 28, 2011, all of these underworlds will be coming to their completion, and so there is every reason to believe that the year 2012 will be a year when a new reality settles. A reality where the experience of linear time has come to an end, and the consciousness-altering cycles that are still today driving the evolution of human history will come to an end. In my view, it is thus fruitless to wait around to see what is going to happen in the year 2012. The Mayan calendar is above all something that should be lived at the present moment, as it aligns us with the process that we all need to participate in for the divine plan to successfully manifest.
The Mayan contribution to the currently emerging understanding of enlightenment is essentially the provision of an exact time for the climb of the cosmic pyramid. This time plan has been extensively verified by empirical evidence, and I feel its basis in reality may now be considered beyond dispute. Its multifaceted manifestation is quite a science of its own and is largely outside the scope of this discussion here, with the exception of the various yin-yang polarities that have been ruling the nine underworlds and how these influence the process of enlightenment on a collective scale. The nine underworlds are each dominated by a certain yin-yang polarity, which is pivotal for its influence on human consciousness. From these polarities, we may understand some of what Sri Kalki is bringing into the world.
In this climb, we will start at the sixth level, at the national underworld, that began to dominate human consciousness in the year 3115 BC. This is the era covered by the so-called Mayan Long Count, whose beginning essentially coincides with that of the Indian era of Kali Yuga in 3102 BC. During this era, the light was polarized between the two brain hemispheres in such a way that the left brain was favored. Because of this imbalance, human beings then came to experience themselves as half and incomplete. This lack of balance in their perception of the world and themselves then almost completely blocked any process towards wholeness and enlightenment, which has been in an exceptionally rare or maybe even non-existent state during these past 5,000 years. Human beings came to perceive themselves as less than the divine. While the concept of original sin is now usually blamed on the Christian church or religion in general, this is really not fair. The church only put words to what people were experiencing because of the consciousness polarity ruling the cosmos at the time.
In AD 1755, the seventh level, the planetary underworld, began to be developed on top of the national underworld. Through this, human beings came to be dominated by an endarkened consciousness that even further blinded them to the spiritual reality of the universe. And in this era, the entire focus of mankind shifted to the production and consumption of things. Of course, light and dark here do not mean good and bad. Human beings go through the different polarities of consciousness in the different underworlds because we are subordinated to a divine plan creating these. As part of this plan, the goal of reaching the top of the cosmic pyramid can only be arrived at as a result of a stepwise climb, where we, collectively speaking, level by level, prepare ourselves for the blissful view we will have from the top.
Although it has been prepared for as a weaker influence ever since 1947, the galactic underworld of the Mayan calendar, the eighth level, began in 1999. Its frame of consciousness is characterized by a polarity that favors the right brain half, and whose effects are mediated by a series of seven pulses of light, reminiscent of the progression through seven phases that is a central theme in the Book of Revelation. at the time of writing, we are now in the fourth of these pulses, the fourth day. These pulses are leading up to the ninth and highest underworld, the universal underworld, which during a period of 260 days in the year 2011 will be dominating us with a polarity where the light falls on the front of the head and the darkness on the back side. If you add the polarities of these four different underworlds up, they will complement each other to form a sphere of light. What is described here is, however, the different polarities that are level by level coming into play in the evolution of the collective consciousness of humanity. Then every single individual reflects a unique combination of influences from the different polarities of consciousness in the different underworlds. But in the individual, these never manifest in a pure and clear-cut form. Thus, although the polarities of the different underworlds determine the overall collective consciousness at any given time, they allow for quite some individual variation through complex combinations of these influences.
The reason we may expect mass enlightenment to become a possibility in 2011-2012, as the cycles come to an end, is that there will be a shift in yin-yang polarity favoring the front side of the human brain as the universal underworld becomes the dominating influence. This pertains to a brilliant discussion of Christian Opitz, where on the level of brain physiology and brain chemistry, he makes observations relevant to the process of enlightenment. Opitz points out, consistent with Sri Kalki, a crucial prerequisite for the enlightenment of an individual is that the activity of the parietal lobes are disconnected and that a shift takes place to the frontal lobes. This is a description of how, in the collective process, the path towards enlightenment means shifting from the light favoring the backside of the brain, the parietal lobes. This is a description of how in the collective process, the path towards enlightenment means shifting from the light favoring the backside of the brain, the parietal lobes, in the planetary underworld. That's all of the readers of this book, or listeners to this audio, were born into and shaped by, to favoring the front side, the frontal lobes, in the universal underworld. What Sri Kalki Dikshas are designed to do is to bring about such a shift, and what the mind... Hold on. What Sri Kalki's Dikshas are designed to do is to bring about such a shift, and what the Mayan calendar tells us is that the cosmic polarity that dominates the human mind will be increasingly conducive to such a shift. Already today, certain individuals have had experiences of a shift of this kind, of a permanent nature, and have attained what would be called an enlightened state.
Kiara Windrider has discussed the limitations of the Dikshas as applied to most of us living today. Quote, love brings up anything unlike itself, end quote. And so many that have received Dikshas come to experience backlashes where the initial state of bliss, sometimes mimicking an experience of enlightenment, may turn into disappointment as the initial experience wears off. Also, these phenomena become more easily understandable from the overall perspective of the Mayan calendar, and we should be aware that the shift from the polarity of the planetary underworld to the universal, for most of us, will require exposure to many transfers of light as well as the necessary ensuing integration processes. Collectively speaking, in the overall divine plan, the shift from one polarity of consciousness to another proceeds in steps. These steps are propelled by distinct pulses of energy emanating from the Molam, the cosmic world tree, at the current time especially as part of the galactic underworld. This pulse-wise emanation of light creates a wave movement that we are all part of, and which invariably includes troughs meant for integration. As the divine process of creation according to the Mayan calendar is a wave movement, the same will be true for our individual processes. Thus, there is no path along which we can gradually and linearly become enlightened. It seems more realistic to expect our enlightenment processes to proceed like wave movements, where different dark corners of our consciousness are lit up by dikshas. Kiara's advice to just expect us to go through such an up-and-down process and accept it seems wise, and highlights the necessity to process aspects of ourselves that are not translucent. How much of such processing that is necessary will depend on where we started and our willingness to honestly see ourselves.
Hence, we should be aware that all people that are now at an adult age were born into a cosmic yin-yang polarity that did not favor enlightenment. Those of us that are choosing a path towards the enlightened field of the universal underworld should then realistically be ready for a roller coaster ride where we will not necessarily be amused by every turn. Exempt from this, however, there may be certain children that are born in recent times who may enter the universal underworld more or less directly, as their consciousness has not been under the influence of the planetary underworld. At the same time, it should be pointed out that with every new pulse of light in the current galactic underworld, a rebalanced consciousness favoring enlightenment will be strengthened. This is, incidentally, why it is important to celebrate the most significant shift points of this underworld, such as the oneness celebration, midlight meditation, etc., with globally synchronized dikshas. Hence, it is, in my view, necessary to be aware both of the cosmic energy shifts that the Mayan calendar describes and to go through an individual process in phase with those same energies. The individual path could, in addition to dikshas, include a whole range of processes for emotional and mental cleansing that would fall under the heading of samskara shuddhi, such as the journey and the work, to mention two that are currently popular.
So, what are dikshas, and why do they serve the process of enlightenment? Sri Kalki describes them as golden balls that he spent decades perfecting. Initially, they were transferred by physical contact mediated by the dasas. But other means of transferring this divine intelligence have later emerged. It seems that recently these etheric golden balls have been caught on film among participants in a 21-day process in the Golden City in India, to whom the knowledge how to give dikshas was passed on. By itself, this would indicate that as we have come to the midpoint of the galactic underworld, these balls have become more tangible and lucid, and we may be more ready to have them enter our ordinary existence. These balls of light may then serve to activate and light up whatever dark corners there might be in the mind of an individual. Because of what we know from the Mayan calendar and its different polarities of consciousness, we also have every reason to believe that most of us are energetically unbalanced, with significant inner walls of duality that need to become translucent, and exposure to the golden balls of the Diksha may serve exactly this purpose.
In my view, what these dikshas are doing is to help bring a new frame of consciousness to the individual one, where all the polarities have been evened out. A sphere of light is how the collective consciousness that the divine plan is bringing us was described above. It should be pointed out that our individual frames of consciousness have unique imbalances, but that Sri Kalki has brought into an existence a tool that potentially has the ability to bring balance and wholeness to whomever it is given. Regardless of individual difference between people, enlightenment will invariably require the balancing of light in ourselves. The golden balls will balance whatever is out of balance in a particular individual and bring his or her consciousness into harmony with the state where the polarities of the different underworlds are complemented by each other. In other words, to the enlightened state of the future. The closer we come to the universal underworld depicted in the Mayan calendar, the more consistent will the individual consciousness be with the enlightening field of this underworld. This is probably why Sri Kalki professes to bring anyone that so chooses to the state of enlightenment.
Carl Johan Kalaman is a world-leading expert on the Mayan calendar and is the author of The Mayan Calendar and The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness. His webpage is www.kalaman.com. That's www.kalaman.com.
I'm Andy Mack.
And I'm Jag Daddy.
And this has been the audio version of the latest breaking article from Carl Johan Kalaman called The Mayan Calendar and the Process
of Enlightenment.
I totally enjoyed that. How about you?
And we hope that you enjoyed it too.
I hope so. A lot there. It's very intense.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
good.
It is.
But good.
May need to listen to this a few times. I've already read it 4 times and still
soaking it in.
Yeah, soaking it up. But enjoy.
Enjoy. That's it for us. This has been an Airstream Indie Radio podcast broadcast. See you next time.